This is the Vermont Edition podcast. You know what makes a great podcast? Editing. This episode is shorter than the version you heard on air. Enjoy.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. For 20 years, Vermonters had the same attorney general. But as of January, there's a new face as the state's top law enforcement official. Well, not exactly a new face. T.J. Donovan is a familiar name and face to many, especially in Chittenden County, where he served as state's attorney for a decade. In his new statewide role, Donovan is focusing on issues he says are crucial to all Vermonters, including things like the cost of health care, which his office says is a consumer protection issue, and how to address the opioid addiction issue. He's also working with other states to keep the federal government from cutting the budget of the Environmental Protection Agency, which Donovan says would seriously hamper Vermont's pollution cleanup efforts. And Vermont is suing the Federal Department of Education over a delay in rules that address student debt. Now, 6 months into his term, T.J. Donovan joins us today to talk about those and other issues. Nice to have you back. Thank you for making time in your schedule.
Thanks for having me, Jane.
So you are actually holding a forum tomorrow and inviting Vermonters to share their experiences, their concerns, their frustration with healthcare costs. What is it that you think the Vermont Attorney General can do about this problem that it seems like every state agency in every state across the country is trying to get a handle on?
Well, that's a great point, Jane. I think healthcare is incredibly complicated and complex, and frankly, not too many people understand it, including myself. Now, that's a benefit. I'm going to tell you why. Because as you said in your intro, for me, healthcare really is a consumer protection issue. And that, what that means is this. When people's premiums are going up, people should understand what they're paying for and what. Healthcare for me is about access to healthcare. It is about the cost of healthcare, and it is about the quality of care. And so in this incredibly complicated system, I often think that the consumer, the regular person, gets left behind because nobody understands this stuff, the terms, the acronyms, the cost. We talk about millions of dollars. So we get a great panel tomorrow night, 5:30 at Burlington City Hall, Contois Auditorium, to talk about, as I say to people in plain English, what's the Green Mountain Care Board? What's their jurisdiction? Who is the public advocate in that proceeding? What's their budget? Who knows about that? What's the cost shift? This federal health care legislation, how is that going to impact Vermonters? And the way I look at it is through the eyes of, frankly, my wife and I. We got two kids. Hey, we go to the doc. I get the explanation of benefits, and maybe I understand 20% of it. And if premiums are going to go up, we're talking real money to Vermonters. We're talking $1,000, $2,000. That's people's property taxes. That's a hard-earned vacation. So we should be able to explain to Vermonters what this cost means. And if hospital budgets are not going up, they're at historical lows, why are insurance budgets going up? These are real questions. So we got a great panel. We have somebody from the Green Mountain Care Board. We have Mike Fisher, the health advocate, somebody from VNA, somebody from the Hospitals Association, and somebody from Health First, the independent docs. Really, I think to have a discussion, not a lecture, a discussion in plain English about healthcare. Because for me, when we're talking about healthcare at a very local level, it's got to resonate with Vermonters so they understand what the terms are. They feel empowered so they understand what the action step can or cannot be. How many Vermonters know they can make public comments to the Green Mountain Care Board in terms of affordability? I mean, so this is about raising awareness. And as you said, this everybody's trying to figure out this problem. Another point, what's the all-payer system? Is it a good thing?
But so are you just trying to get information? I mean, it sounds almost like you're trying to sort of let the public in on this information gathering process that your office is doing.
Absolutely, because information is power. When you empower – look, Vermonters are smart. And consumer protection is always about giving information so the consumer can make informed choices about what they want to buy or not buy.
So we have a couple of questions on this and comments. Bill in Springfield says, it's almost impossible to know what to do or where to go when I have questions about the care I received, not to mention any recourse I might have. I know there are some who want to severely limit my ability to sue doctors or hospitals. Why? And then David in Sharon has a more pointed comment for you. He says, I'd like to know what Mr. Donovan's plan is for controlling healthcare costs. Does his office have authority to control costs? During his campaign, he had stated he would ban out-of-state prisoners in the first 100 legislative days, and that did not happen. Now he has this forum on health care costs, and I wonder what he really wants to get out of it. Sounds like political talk to me.
Sure. Well, first, the first, I think it was Bill, raises a good point. I mean, people, because health care is so complicated, I frankly think that a lot of Vermonters feel helpless. It's too big. They don't understand it. So to have these forums to bring – to have a conversation that people can understand, that's empowering. And that's exactly what I'm trying to do. Here's the other part. And I think most Vermont lawyers have had this experience because we're a small state. When you're a lawyer, doesn't matter what your area of practice is. People come up to you and ask questions and try to have you solve their problem. That is only amplified being attorney general. People view you as the people's lawyer. I accept that title and I accept the responsibility. And if healthcare premiums are going to go up close to 13%, you better hope a lawyer is asking questions and raising these issues. And that's exactly what I'm trying to do.
So just to be very clear, though, you're at the question raising sort of part of this, not at the this is what our what we're going to do part of this.
I don't think anybody has an answer, right? Let's be honest about it. But when you're for my goal is simply to bring regular people concrete information that they can rely upon and that is empowering to them. And that's when we talk about political movements, the first step is empowering the citizen, empowering regular folks by giving them information that they can easily digest, they can easily understand, and that they can take their action step thereafter.
We got a question from Dennis who says, what about the demise of the Maple Leaf Farm Alcohol and Drug Rehab in Underhill? Has your office looked into the sudden closure of a historic facility in the middle of what the governor has called an opioid crisis?
Well, we are in an opiate crisis, and I've been involved in trying to address this crisis first as state's attorney, now as attorney general, and one of the first lawsuits. And this all relates to healthcare. I've always viewed this as a public health issue with some law enforcement and public safety consequences, but primarily a public health issue. We intervened in a lawsuit to preserve some of the subsidies under the Affordable Care Act so Vermonters can have affordable health care. The biggest thing, Jane, for me is that access to health care. If you can't afford health care, you don't have access to health care. It doesn't matter if you have insurance or not. That's why these proceedings are so important, and that's why it's so important to empower Vermonters about these proceedings. Secondly, and we wrote a letter raising our concerns to the federal government on the first the House passed repeal, if you will, of the Affordable Care Act, and now the pending or soon to be pending Senate legislation. We don't know if that's going to pass or not. But what that would do in terms of reduce funding for drug treatment. There is a whole host of issues in dealing with the opiate crisis. Yes, we need enforcement. Yes, we need prevention. Absolutely. Yes, we need intervention, like having Narcan. Our first responders should be carrying those, and the number of people that, frankly, we've saved as a result of that. But we need treatment, and we need access to treatment. Well, that's going to cost money. That means we're talking about Medicaid. That means we should be advocating with the federal government not to cut Medicaid spending, because we need more drug treatment, not less, in this state. When we have waiting lists, and I want to give credit to Algo Bay, Secretary of Health and Human Services, and Bob Bick at the Howard Center, they've done good work. That waiting list at the Chittenden Clinic, which is that methadone clinic, I think is at all-time low. Now with the opening of the hub, the methadone clinic up in Franklin County, that should continue to lower the waiting list, because one of the answers, I believe, in addressing the opiate crisis is treatment on demand. Not when a judge or lawyer says, go get treatment, but when somebody who's struggling with addiction says, you know what, I've hit rock bottom, I need help, they should be able to get in and see a doc. I also want to give credit to the hospital, particularly UVM. They've done a good job in recruiting more docs to become what we call MAT, medically assisted treatment providers. Those numbers have gone up. That's been part of a solution. So this is an all hands on deck solution. It is not just a public safety issue. It is not just a public health issue. But to talk about healthcare reform and to talk about the opiate crisis, they are interconnected. I also want to say
But let me pause you, though, because Dennis's question was specific to Maple Leaf Treatment Center, which did close.
Yep.
And I can remember when we did a program on it, seemed like there was some significant significant mismanagement of that facility. Yeah. So are you looking into what happened at Maple Leaf specifically in terms of any legal action that might be taken?
We're aware of what transpired, and we are looking at what transpired. I do want to note that Valley Vista, as a result of Maple Leaf closing, opened up in Vergennes, I think, comparable number of inpatient beds rather quickly. Great credit to Valley Vista in terms of filling that gap. But my position is we need more treatment, not less. And as I said, to talk—
And you're looking into Maple Leaf.
This is an issue that—
Are you skirting that question?
I'm not skirting it, but I don't think, you know, we want to talk about whether investigations are happening or not.
Okay. Let's go to Tony calling in from Pulteney.
Hi, Jane. Thank you for taking my question. My question for Mr. Donovan is, I know recently that in the news there have been a number of attorney generals that have filed suit against either two or three pharmaceutical companies. And the reason for the suit is they said that the pharmaceutical companies were perfectly aware of the intense amount of addictive properties of the opioids, and they hid that information. I was wondering if Vermont's going to join in that suit. If indeed this is accurate, I believe that they should be held accountable and help clean up the issue of helping these people that have become addicted, because there was not full disclosure on the addictiveness of opioids.
Tony, thanks for the call. A.G. Donovan, I believe you have joined that lawsuit,
yes,
right, with other attorneys general, right?
Well, thank you, Tony. Thanks for the call. Just note, my grandmother is from Pulteney, so good to hear from you.
Or not a lawsuit, but investigation.
That's right. There's a multi-state investigation going into the manufacture and supply of opiates. And as I was saying earlier, Jane, when we talk about the opiate crisis and the heroin crisis, yes, we talk about prevention, incredibly important. We talk about intervention, treatment, and enforcement. We should also be talking about corporate accountability. And that's what this investigation is about. Tony's right, though. You have Ohio as one of the states that has sued, and then you have a number of other states that are in the process of looking at that.
And that's where Vermont
and
is.
And that's what we're doing. And this has been one of my number one priorities coming into office. It was very clear during the campaign that I thought this was a step that Vermont should take. And this is something that we've been a national leader in, frankly, and we'll continue to lead on this because I do think this is part of the answer. There is no easy answer to this. And this issue, Jane, as you know, has touched everybody in this state. And as I said, it's not just a law enforcement issue. It's not just a public health issue. Corporate accountability, in my opinion, has a role to play. In fact, I tell this story often. I was asked in March of 2012 what I thought the number one issue in the state was. Without hesitating, I said prescription drugs. Prescription drugs. In January of 2014, you then had then Governor Peter Shumlin give his now famous State of the State focus solely on heroin. That is how quickly it transitioned from a prescription drug epidemic to a full-blown heroin crisis. I do believe there's a correlation. You talk to a lot of folks who are addicted. Many folks, right, wrong, or indifferent, got hooked on prescription drugs first.
We have another question here that sort of circles around this question of healthcare before we move on. But you mentioned you don't want to talk about investigations that are underway.
Yep.
But we know because your predecessor and officials in the AG's office nearly 2 years ago did admit that there was an investigation that was opened into alleged fraud at the Brattleboro retreat. Now, former employee Thomas Joseph continues to say there was massive payment fraud that cheated the federal government, cheated patients. And I'm curious if you can tell us anything about the status of that investigation, because it's been very difficult to get any information.
Well, I'm aware of it. And, you know, Thomas Joseph has done a nice job in raising awareness of it. I've talked with Thomas quite often and receive a lot of information from him. And I commend him on his willingness to speak out. It is an ongoing case. This is one that you have said, Jane, has been in the office for quite some time. We're 6 months in. And given what's going on at the federal level, given what's going on in terms of some of the other cases that we just referenced, I do think we'll have a public answer to that question in the near future.
Can you give me a closer time frame on that?
You know, I would hope by the end of the summer, early fall.
And can you give me any more details on whether that means it will be wrapped up or you will be putting charges forward?
You know, I can't right now.
All right. We'll ask you about that again at the end okay. of the summer then.
All right. Thank you.
We're talking with Vermont Attorney General T.J. Donovan about his priorities for his first term in statewide office. Let's go to Sasha calling in from Plainfield. Hi, Sasha. Go right ahead.
I recently learned that the Blue Cross Blue Shield pays a higher level of reimbursement to doctors who work for practices that are bought by hospitals versus doctors in the community. And I'm trying to understand how we can have confidence in the Green Mountain Care Board when they allow this kind of disparate payment to physicians.
Sasha, thanks for the call. T.J. Donovan, I know also something that your office is looking at is this consolidation of practices under UVM Healthcare. Yeah. So what about Sasha's question?
Well, it's a great question, Sasha, and I would say I don't have a quick answer for you other than this is, again, part of the reason why we're trying to do these public forums. I mean, you talk, whether it's the opiate crisis or healthcare, this is an issue that impacts every Vermonter. Vermonters got questions. We got to give them straight answers. And my view, again, as the people's lawyer, is what I can do right now that's meaningful, in my opinion, is to bring information to Vermonters to answer questions like Sasha. And I would say, you know, when I went to the baby attorney general school orientation, one of the first topics was healthcare consolidation. Again, this is a national issue, not only happening here in Vermont, but across this state. And do I have an answer to it? I don't. But again, the question is, are we different than other states? If so, why? What's different about Vermont? Again, how does it impact the Vermonter who has access to care? Does it make access easier or does it make it harder? What does it do for cost? Does it cost the Vermonter more or less? And what about quality of care? So those three questions is how I try to look at this through, again, the eyes of a regular person who's paying. You know, Jane, I go to the pharmacy every month. I can't tell you, and I get the same prescription. The price changes every month. I can't tell you why. And sometimes the medication a couple years ago changed, not as a result of my doc, who is, you know, I always say healthcare is like Congress. Nobody likes them. But we like our individual congressperson, and we like our doctors. I have a great doctor. Love him. But I remember a couple years ago, my prescription changed, not because he thought it was a good thing, but because the prescription I was getting wasn't on the preferred list anymore. Who makes that decision?
So you're right here with the rest of Vermonters.
Absolutely. Then. And again, I joke, that's the benefit of me in this position. You know, I know like 1% of this stuff, which makes me dangerous, but I know I also got a bully pulpit and a soapbox to get up, bring people in a room and ask some questions.
So speaking of that room, we've talked about the forum is tomorrow yep. night in Burlington, and we'll put a link up at vpr.net. You can click on the Vermont Edition page. But people like Beth in Brattleboro want to know, is there any way for people who are not in Chittenden County
yes.
to be part of that?
We want to do more, and we got to do a little bit better job in terms of doing some planning to get outside of Chittenden County and making sure that we really do have all the stakeholders, the diversity of opinion represented at the panel. And, you know, given the July 4th holiday, we're a little bit behind the eight ball pushing to make sure we had everybody ready to go. But we do plan to get around the state because it impacts everybody. And the question that Sasha just asked and so many others, questions I ask, this is the experience of regular folks. And to empower Vermonters by giving them straight answers that they can understand and the action step, if any, that they can take.
We got a question from Kevin in Shelburne who says, given the current revelations of Donald Trump Jr.'s meeting with a Russian lawyer in June of 2016 and the current investigations of Russia's possible involvement in our latest presidential election, do you think it's a good idea to give the Trump administration any voting information at all? Many states have flatly refused to give any information. If the majority of Vermonters don't want this information given out and you represent Vermonters, why are you giving out voter information? Now, my understanding of this is that this doesn't come from your office at all. It's Secretary of State Jim Condos, who's been asked by this federal commission to hand over voter information on Vermonters. And the Secretary of State initially said he would hand over what was sort of publicly available. Yeah. And then it sounds like he heard from a lot of Vermonters who were not happy with that. And he has some other concerns about security of information. And he said in a letter to that commission chair at the end of last month, quote, "I want to make one thing perfectly clear. Vermont will not be complying with the commission's request for Vermont voters' private and sensitive information. I will not compromise the privacy of Vermont citizens to support the Trump administration's witch hunt for widespread voter fraud, which has been disproven many times over by nonpartisan experts." A couple phrases there from Secretary of State Jim Condos. But on the legality of what Vermont does or does not have to hand over to the federal government, what's your advice to the Secretary of State?
Well, Secretary Condos is right, and he's doing the right thing by raising questions because, Jane, as you know, some of this information is public. But that said, Vermont has always had a proud tradition of protecting people's privacy in this state. And I think there is no greater sanctity in terms of privacy than the voting booth. Who you vote for is your own business, certainly not the federal government's. And in regards to the dissemination of any of this information to the federal government, two things really jump out. And we've talked to Secretary Condos about this. Number one, it's got to be compliant with state law. And we have a law that says if you want this information, some of this public information, you got to sign an affidavit that says it won't be used for commercial purposes. Well, my understanding of what this commission wants to do down in D.C. is to make it public. So we don't know if that will ever be used for commercial purposes. We certainly need that assurance. Some of the other questions, Secretary.
And by commercial purposes, what?
Like to sell it.
Yeah, just for whatever use?
Yes, sell it to some company that's going to advertise for you. You know, given the world we're in terms of protecting personal data, this is a real issue. Second, the law that we worked on with Governor Scott, S-79, in response to the first travel ban by President Trump, did two things. Number one, it said we're going to keep local law enforcement local and not have them be essentially deputized as federal immigration officers. But the second part of that law was this, which we pushed for in the AG's office, was we're not going to disseminate any information, any personally identifiable information of Vermonters that can be used for a federal registry. I think what the commission is asking violates the spirit of that law in terms of some of the information that they're seeking. So what we're saying to Secretary Condos is exactly what he's already done. Before I turn over any piece of information, we're going to ask some questions of the commission to make sure that we're protecting Vermonters' privacy.
Have you asked those questions?
We're waiting for the response from Secretary Condos' first set of questions.
So until then, no information being handed over, and
no,
you think you're
correct.
On firm legal footing
yes.
for that?
Yes.
So one of the other federal issues that
we need those questions answered. Again, the commission in its letter said compliant with state law. Well, Vermont, as you know, our tradition is one of privacy. We believe in protecting people's privacy in this state. And I can't think again of anybody's personally identified information being sent out for the whole world to see here. So this information, again, coupled with the requirement of the affidavit, coupled with the issue of no information for purposes of a federal registry, raises real concerns for me.
Has there been any further legal pressure from the federal government for Vermont to comply with that request?
The deadline is this Friday. I know another letter came out today, but we're still waiting for information.
One of the other federal issues that you've been working on is pushing back against the Trump administration on a budget that includes a really deep cut to the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, something like 31%. If that goes through, how would it affect Vermont?
Well, it would devastate Vermont, Jane, and we all know this. Pollution knows no boundaries. And I personally believe that people have a fundamental right to clean air and to clean water. And so when you're talking about gutting the EPA, that's exactly what's happening. And frankly, the dismantling is happening at a rather quick pace under Secretary Pruitt. So we've taken a lot of actions to protect not only Vermonters' access to clean water and to clean air, but to protect our environment, whether it is suing to maintain the Clean Power Plan to reduce emissions from power plants across this country, to making sure that we're reducing greenhouse gas emissions from new oil and gas sources, to suing to make sure that the rules that are in place to promote energy efficiency on appliances remains, to making sure that we stand up for Vermonters in terms of the decommissioning of Vermont Yankee, which is a major issue in this state, to one of the first acts I took when I assumed office, to standing up for clean water in Bennington County and making sure that we're making taking the right steps regarding the PFOA that occurred in Bennington County.
And again, this was contamination in the water supply. Yes. Due to chemical treatments that had been at a factory.
That's nearby. Right. To making, just last week, suing again to making sure that a rule that banned a pesticide that, again, science demonstrated that it impacted the development of children's brains.
This is how do you say it?
I can't say it. I'm going to try to say it. Chlorofiros, I believe.
Chlorofiros. Okay. And this is a...
I've been struggling with that word for the past week.
Yeah, me too. It's too bad neither one of us can say it. But
it's bad.
This is a pesticide that you were hoping the federal government would put a complete ban on, like even residue, and that
That's
has
right.
not been forthcoming.
Well, there was, you know, a lot of work went into putting that ban in place. And again, as I said, the dismantling and the rollbacks of all these protections is happening. This is the last 6 months. And so a lot of the work we've done, and this is a real issue of federalism. You know, people say, well, this is the jurisdiction of the federal government. Well, the states have rights too. And when we talk about this definition of federalism, it really is that tension that exists between the federal government and the state. And when we're talking about protecting Vermonters, when we're talking about protecting about kids, about babies, you better believe we're going to get involved to do everything we possibly can to make sure Vermonters are protected. And if that means suing the EPA and suing the federal government so this pesticide is not used, that it doesn't impact the development of children, I mean, I can't believe we're fighting over this. But that's the reality we're in. And so this has been it's been nonstop. It's been challenging, but it's been invigorating because this is what you go – this is why you're in these jobs, to protect people and to fight the good fight.
There's another fight that you're fighting at the federal level, and we've got some listeners who want to – talk about this. We had a listener who wrote in to say, I have a Navient student yeah. loan consolidated from all my loans from medical school. When I graduated in 2012, my loans totaled $80,000. Then I had an accident and had to take forbearance for 6 months. The balance ballooned to over $100,000. Navient never explained that to me at the time. More importantly, they hold payments, so late fees accrue. I always pay on time, but Navient says it takes them 3 to 5 days to clear a payment, even if I do electronic transfer. The reality is Navient takes up to 10 days to clear electronic payments. Is your AG office going to do something for Vermont grads who are stuck with this horrible Navient dilemma? And before you answer that, we've got another student loan caller on the line as well. Brady is calling in from Rutland. Hi, Brady. Go right ahead.
Hi there. First, I want to say, as a 23-year recovered opiate addict from a wildly overprescribed surgery, I want to just say I appreciate your stance on opiates and the prescription element. But I have a student loan that I got just before September 11th, 2001. And post-September 11th, I was one of the long-term underemployed. And my loan went into default, and it's with Great Lakes. And when it came out of default, I was issued a $13,000 fee to come out of default. And I've since accrued... The loan has doubled in size from about $40,000 to almost $80,000, while I haven't been able to pay it off because I've largely been underemployed for the last 15 years. And I also am wondering if Vermont has a plan to address this usury.
Brady, that's a big financial burden to be carrying. So what about it, Attorney
sure.
General T.J. Donovan?
Student loan debt is a consumer protection issue. I mean, again, the question you just raised and Brady recounting his experience, it's a consumer protection issue where people feel they're being ripped off from big companies on terms that they didn't understand or didn't agree. Just last week, we sued to intervene in a case to keep a rule, again, the dismantling – the dismantling that's occurred in terms of the rollbacks. We sued the Department of Education, if you can believe, is trying to roll back what's called a borrower defense rule, which basically says this, that students who are fraudulently induced to take these loans, oftentimes with for-profit schools, which again, this is the American dream. Hey, get a degree, go on, get a job, do great things, make a lot of money. But a lot of these schools have gone out of business, have changed the terms, and this rule was put into place to do exactly as it said, to protect the borrower, the consumer, the student. The Department of Education is rolling that rule back.
That rule was created under the Obama administration,
yeah,
and under the Betsy DeVos and the Trump administration, that rule is not going into place.
That's right. So we're suing to intervene to keep that rule in place, to protect borrowers, to protect students, and to give people access to education so they can achieve the American dream.
So what is the status of that lawsuit? Just filed. It's going to take forever to get through, right?
Well, we just filed it, but I'll say this. You have a number of states, a number of attorney generals joining in and really building these coalitions to stand up for folks across this nation. Again, whether it's the environmental issue, whether it's the travel ban, whether it's the student loan issue, whether it's healthcare issues. And this Department of Education suit is just another example of, frankly, Democratic attorney generals standing together to stand up for regular folks who are getting left behind. Because here's the thing on this for-profit school stuff. Again, you're promised the world. Get this degree. And these guys are making money, by the way, off of federal student loans. And then these students, for whatever reason, don't get the degree. The school closes. They're left holding the bag. And these guys have made millions. I mean, it's time to stand up for regular people.
Is your role as AG and other Democratic AGs around the country to basically, during the Trump administration, be agitators for policies that you think the Trump administration's departments should be doing, whether it's the EPA or the Education Department or others?
Not to be agitators, to be the people's lawyer, to stand up and fight for regular folks, for those kids who have the right to grow up healthy and have an opportunity for a great life. For people like Brady who want to go to school and do the right thing, but for circumstances out of their control, get left behind. For protecting the environment so people have clean access to clean air and to clean water. And to hold people accountable so when we need drug treatment, we have access to drug treatment. To make sure that any Vermonter who's sick can get insurance, can afford insurance, and can get the treatment they need. That is being the people's lawyer. When you say the question that we talked about earlier, Jane, that's what I hear from Vermonters. They don't care what type of lawyer I am or not. They view me as their lawyer, and it doesn't matter what the issue is. We're going to try to solve it. Are we going to solve every issue? Of course not. But let me tell you something. We're going to try. And people, and I've been criticized, this healthcare forum, people are saying, this is outside your bailiwick. Hey, this is impacting Vermonters. This is a lot of money. $2,000 is a lot of money to Vermonters. Guess what? Somebody should be asking questions. That's the job. That's what we're doing.
Well, we'll have you back to talk a little bit more about how these things are going in a couple of months. TJ Donovan is Vermont's attorney general. Now, information about the forum he's holding tomorrow night about healthcare costs is linked from vpr.net/Vermont Edition. TJ Donovan, thank you very much for being with us
today. Thanks for having me, Jane.